T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
What a better way to kick off the weekend for most Sabres fans to know that Jeff Skinner is locked up for another 8 years after the deal was announced last night. 8 years, $72 million, annual per year average of $9 million. And joining me right now on the West Hur Hotline, a hockey analyst from TSN and the NHL Network, is Mike Kelly. You can follow him on Twitter at MikeKellyNHL. Mike, I got to thank you very much for not only joining me, but doing it on such short notice. Last night after this news went down, I was scrolling through Twitter and I said, hey, Mike's still up. It's like 11 o'clock. Let me get with him. And you responded in kind and you were able to do it. So I really appreciate it.
Yeah, no problem. I'm spending, it's a beautiful day where I am in Quebec and just hanging out enjoying the sun. So happy to do it.
Well, your first initial reaction to the Jeff Skinner news, or maybe even reaction now that you've slept on it 12 hours later or so?
Well, it's, you know, to me, this is what the market was going to pay Jeff Skinner as a potential unrestricted free agent. So the only question for the Buffalo Sabres was, are we going to give him nine times eight or not? And they chose to do so, and I think it's the right move. I mean, you know, for a team that has struggled to score goals in general, you're not going to replace 40 goals that easily. So, you know, Jeff Skinner is worth what the market will pay him, and the market was going to pay him at least $9 million on a max deal. So that's what the Buffalo Sabres do, and I think it's a great move. He's been there for a year. He showed good chemistry, obviously, on that team, playing mostly with Eichel and Reinhart. And, you know, it's not so easy all the time in certain markets. Buffalo's one of them, you know, fair or not, to attract unrestricted free agents. So you've got a guy that wants to be there and a proven goal scorer. So I think it's the right move.
Yeah, and I get the sense, Mike, that Jason Botchel probably didn't really want to go to nine, but he understands that that's the price of doing business, and he almost had to go to nine to make sure he got this done, especially now that we're watching Ryan O'Reilly on his way to a possible Conn Smythe trophy, and, you know, this is forefront of his mind that he had this player. I'm not saying that's why, the only reason he does Jeff Skinner, but you have to think that he needed to do this for himself, for his team, for his fan base, and a lot of reasons that went into this.
Yeah, no question. I mean, you know, that Ryan O'Reilly trade, it didn't look good the minute it went down, and it certainly doesn't look good today given what O'Reilly's doing. But look, with Jeff Skinner, it's a lot of money for sure. They had to do it in order to keep him, and they did it. So, you know, you take a look at the fact that he was fifth last season in even strength goals. He was 12th in scoring chances at even strength. Maybe he outperforms a little bit last year and he gets up to 40 goals, but you go back the year before that, he was third in the NHL, only behind Connor McDavid and Alex Ovechkin in scoring chances at even strength. He didn't hit 30 goals. Really low shooting percentage at 8.7%. But when I look at Jeff Skinner, you know, you look at the process, you look at the results. In the last 3 years, Connor McDavid, Austin Matthews, and Patrick Kane are the only guys with more goals at even strength. They all make more than $9 million. The three guys right behind Jeff Skinner, Alex Ovechkin, Nikita Kucherov, John Tavares, they all make more than $9 million. So Jeff Skinner is an elite, even-strength goal scorer. He is a top-tier goal scorer overall, and this is what the market dictates, and it's what he gets. So I think that he is a lot closer to the 14.9% shooter based on how many good looks, good scoring chances he generates year in and year out than he is the 8.7% guy. So for me, there's no reason why Jeff Skinner, many, many years into this contract, can't be putting up a minimum of 30 goals a year.
You know, you talk about that, and I just brought it up, the Ryan O'Reilly deal. I actually have a plus one and a minus one on the ledger of Jason Botchel, because as much as that's a minus one, the trade he made to get Jeff Skinner, Mike, was really good. I mean, they sent Cliff Poux a second and a third to Carolina, and eventually, Cliff Poux was traded for future consideration. So, really, I mean, to me, it almost balances out on his ledger. But, of course, we remember the O'Reilly deal because he is doing what he's doing in the Stanley Cup right now. But that was a really good deal by Jason Botchel last August.
Oh yeah, no question. To get Jeff Skinner is a phenomenal deal. Again, you know, guys that can score at the rate that he scores at, and guys that can generate scoring chances at the rate that he generates at, they don't grow on trees. Now, if you told me you can have Ryan O'Reilly or Jeff Skinner, I'd take Ryan O'Reilly, but that's a yes. debate for another day. I think Sabres fans should just be thrilled at the fact that they've got Jack Eichel locked up long-term. You've got Jeff Skinner locked up long-term, and you can start building pieces around that. Other guys are going to come. Middlestad will continue to develop, et cetera. Rasmus Dahlin, obviously, a great pillar on the blue line for years to come. So this is a win, and Sabres fans should be celebrating today. And, you know, the other thing about Jeff Skinner, I don't know how much you guys talk about it, he draws a ton of penalties. And that's important. You know, I remember a couple of years ago I was at the Sloan Analytics Conference in Boston, and I was talking to Dan Bylsma. And we were talking about free agency in general and scouting players, et cetera. And he said, you know, one thing that he pays attention to when you're looking at potential free agents is guys' penalty differentials. Because if you have a guy like Jeff Skinner, who last year drew 18 more penalties than he took, then you factor in Buffalo's power play percentage, you're looking at an extra 3 or 4 goals last season alone that he would contribute. So he scores 40, but because he draws so many penalties, you know, that's 43-44. So, you know, for Jeff Skinner, there's a lot of pros to his game. He led the NHL last year in rebound goals. He's a guy that can lose himself in front of the net in those contested areas, and he just seems to be in the right place at the right time. Natural goal scorer. So, again, it's a great win for Buffalo.
Joined by Mike Kelly here at TSN and the NHL Network. I'm curious your thought of the criticism besides, you know, maybe they overpaid for him a little bit, would be his age. 8 years at his age now puts him to age 35 through this contract. Is that something that really should be of a concern? Or, hey, you know what, if he gives you 5-6 years at that kind of production, why are you worried about the last couple of a deal like that?
Yeah, well, that's how I'd feel about it. And look, you can say, you know, again, $9 million over 8 years, it's a bit of an overpay for Jeff Skinner if you're looking at his age and you're just looking at what he does. But that's not the point. It's as simple as supply and demand with an unrestricted free agent like him. So you don't have the option to pay him $7.5 million over 8 years, which is probably more in line with where, you know, I would rate him. But you don't have that choice. So, you know, Sabres fans shouldn't even be thinking about that. The two choices were this. You sign him to this deal or he walks. And if I'm a Sabres fan, I'm happy to have Jeff Skinner on my team for the next 8 years. And, you know, again, you look at the last couple of years of the contract, it scales down a bit in terms of actually money paid out. I think he's got a full no move anyways. But, you know, again, if you can get that great production from him, that 30-plus goal production from him for 5-6 years, you know, year 7 and 8, don't even think about that today.
Yeah, the cash layout in the final 2 years goes down to 7 and then $5 million, and I'm sure they protected themselves in that realm as far as paying out the cash. You're right about that. You know, one of the reasons why it took till June 7th to get this deal done was Jason Botterill had told us that Jeff was waiting to see who the new coach was. I'm curious on your thoughts of Ralph Kruger being hired as the Sabres' next head coach, Mike.
Well, I like it in the sense that, you know, it's a bit unconventional, I guess. I mean, he does have the head coaching experience. He's been a coach in the NHL, but he was over in Europe. I mean, he's involved in a different sport. I heard just at his press conference the way that he talked about, you know, analytics, which obviously I perked up to, but how to mesh, you know, the data, you know, with not taking the creativity away from the guys. And to me, he just seems like a real forward thinker. You know, word has it that people love playing for him. Obviously, the results are going to speak for themselves in what he does behind the bench. But, you know, one thing's for sure, there's been too many coaches coming in and out of Buffalo for too long now. And in talking to younger players, not specific to Buffalo, but just in general around the league, it is really difficult for guys to find their rhythm when there's new coaches coming in every year, every second year. I know a couple of young guys that have had that situation happen to them, and they've said as much. You know, it's not easy constantly having to adapt to whoever the new guy is. So, you know, hopefully Ralph Kruger comes in and they have some success. You know, there were glimpses of it, obviously, last year when Buffalo was able to put some pretty good hockey together for small parts of the season. But they have a lot of good young pieces, like I said, and they're going in the right direction. So, you know, I think it's an interesting hire with Kruger.
I want to get to some Stanley Cup talk with you, but before I do, just generally interested in your thoughts on what happens with Mitch Marner here. You know, it's getting time where There's going to have to be a big decision made how they're going to approach this. It looks like there's a line drawn in the sand from everything we're hearing from up there in Canada with Marner's agent and the Leafs and what kind of money he wants Austin Matthews' money, apparently. But you know, how do you think this all plays out, Mike?
It's a great question. You know, you hear the same things, right? He wants, you know, north of $10 million, whether it's $10 million, $11 million. To me, he hasn't earned that money. Will he get it? We'll see. But you look at comparable contracts around the league for a guy coming out of entry level, there's no case to be made on that basis that he's a $10, $11 million a year player. Now, again, you know, we'll see what he wants to do and if signing an offer sheet is something he'd be open to and trying to force Toronto's hand in that regard. I'm not sure. But when I look at Mitch Marner, you know, I think a case for him is a heck of a lot closer to around $9 million than anything north of $10 million. But as we've seen now, I mean, the whole point in this CBA, the whole point with this second contract, this RFA contract, is that you don't have to give these guys the max term and huge money right out of entry level. But now you've got guys doing it. You got, you know, star players doing it, certainly, superstars, Austin Matthews being one of them. So, you know, the Toronto Maple Leafs, they've got a really an interesting couple of weeks coming up because, you know, that rumor is out there, too, that Marner will consider offer sheets when he's able to talk to other teams. And, you know, there are other teams that could certainly put Toronto in a bit of a bind if that's a route he decides to go down.
Yeah, and we've been talking a lot on WGR. One of our morning show hosts, Jeremy White, has really been stumping for years that offer sheets should be made. In this league, they're just not. I mean, I cover the NFL for a living, and we see them. Every year, there's a few offer sheets in the NFL for restricted free agents. We just don't get it in the NHL. We know why. Because general managers, A, don't want the compensation, but maybe more so, don't want the retribution from other general managers. Is this the year, though? I mean, you look down at Mike, right? Mitch Marner, Braden Point, Mikko Rantanen. I mean, there are Sebastian Aho. There are some really high-end RFAs available if someone wants to do that.
I agree with you. I'd do it. I would do it if I thought I had a legitimate chance to get the player. I wouldn't do it just to put another team in cap trouble and to mess with their structure. Mm-hmm. I understand that. But if I legitimately thought I could get the player, you know, why wouldn't you do it? You know, I was talking to an agent a few weeks ago, and he brought something up that I thought was kind of interesting, which is, you know, why not offer sheet one of these guys on a four-year contract? You walk them right to unrestricted free agency. Now, if you're the team offering the offer sheet and that gets signed, and you get the player, obviously it's a bit of a problem for you, that you're walking them right to UFA. But again, you're kind of creating more reasons for the team, that has his rights to look at it and say, this is really difficult for us now. So I hope GMs get a little bit creative with these offer sheets because, like you said, I can't remember a time where there's been more legitimate superstar players in the NHL coming out of entry level, getting ready to sign that supposed second contract. When you bring up the guys like Point and Rantanen and Laine and Marner, really exceptional cases here for sure. But again, I think GMs are only going to do it if they truly believe that they have an opportunity to sign that player.
Then the report came out last week that maybe it was earlier this week even, Erik Karlsson's wife could be homesick, and Ottawa could even be a destination he could return to. Could you see something like that happening given the situation they're in with that team and their rebuild, that they could really bring someone like Erik Karlsson back?
I have no knowledge of that situation, but it seems like a long shot to me. I mean, they had an opportunity to sign him. He had an opportunity to stay, right, and he chose not to. So I don't know why it would make any sense to go back and do that again. Now, I can't speak to that report. I don't know anything about it other than, you know, same as you, which is just reading that report. But you'd call me shocked if he ends up signing with the Senators. I'll say that much.
Yeah, me too as well. All right, Stanley Cup. We have a chance here for the Blues to wrap this thing up tomorrow night. Given where they were at the end of January, Mike, how incredible of a turnaround is this for the St. Louis Blues? Have you seen anything like this in the NHL? We're not talking, you know, where they were in October, November. This was just a few months before the playoffs started, and here we are on the verge of them winning the Stanley Cup.
Well, yes, it's crazy. I've never seen anything like it. It's got to be. It's one of the best stories in sports history. It has to be. I mean, like you said, January 3rd, they are dead last in the NHL. At the start of the season, because of the moves they made, I thought they had a legitimate chance to get to a Stanley Cup final, to win the West. And I felt like an idiot for a good chunk of the year because there they are in last place, and now they go on this crazy run. It's one of the best stories in hockey history if they win the Stanley Cup. It has to be. I mean, you know, Vegas gets to a Cup final as an expansion team a year ago. That's a crazy story. What if St. Louis wins the Cup and they're in last place in 2019? It's unbelievable. So I think, you know, they kind of fell backwards a little bit into Jordan Binnington. Like, he wasn't a prime option for them. They were kind of forced to put him in, and he just went off. And the team played really well defensively in front of him for a long time after January. A lot of things started clicking for them, and again, Binnington's been a huge part of it. But if they win the Stanley Cup, no question, it's one of the best Stanley Cup stories in NHL history.
Yeah, what did you think of the non-call non-trip call that led to a goal, and then also just the overall officiating has really kind of been dominating headlines here over the last 24 hours or so?
Yeah, well, it's unfortunate because I think officiating has been dominating headlines for a good chunk of the playoffs. And, you know, it's the best team in the world to me. It has to be the toughest to officiate. I really do have a lot of sympathy for these officials. That's a missed call. And you can talk about video review, et cetera. Even if they bring in video review, it's not going to be to go over every potential non-call. So, you know, to me, that's a trip. It's a blatant trip. The official's staring right at it, doesn't make the call. I don't know why. But there's no question in my mind that's a flagrant penalty. You look at Tyler Bozak's reaction, it's a penalty. You know, some people suggesting Noel Achari tried to sell it. I mean, the guy got slew-footed and fell backwards and hit his head. I don't know many guys that are doing that to sell a two-minute call. So I thought that was a penalty through and through, and obviously it's made to look worse because of the goal that happens right afterwards. But in saying that, look, you know, I'm not saying Boston's making excuses either. I know they talked about it, but St. Louis has been the better team the entire series at 5-on-5 in the Stanley Cup final. And as good as Boston's power play has been, they scored 4 goals in one game, you're going to have a really hard time winning a Stanley Cup when you're being beaten game in, game out at 5-on-5. And when your top line, your loaded up so-called perfection line, does not have a goal at 5-on-5. You're being outscored as a line by Robert Bortuzzo at 5-on-5. You're going to have a difficult time winning a Stanley Cup. So it was a missed call. It affected potentially, yeah, the outcome of the game, but St. Louis is earning what they're doing right now.
Yeah, they are for sure. Does O'Reilly get the Conn Smythe if they take this thing home, or is this Binnington's to lose right now?
I'd have no problem giving it to O'Reilly. I think you can make a case for Alex Pietrangelo. Course, Binnington. He's been terrific. He was so good in Game 5. Again, I think St. Louis defensively has played really well in front of them, and that helps. But if it goes to any one of those three guys, not going to be surprised in the least. But, yeah, I absolutely think Ryan O'Reilly has a case to win the Conn Smythe. And, you know, he's scoring goals, which is great. He's got 3 goals at 5-on-5 in the Cup Final. But in addition to that, I mean, it's all the face-offs that he takes. It's how good he is defensively and breaking up plays and being in the right place at the right time. Every facet of the game, you know, he's involved in. So I'd have no qualms giving it to him.
All right, Mike, is there a single Canadian citizen that is not rooting for the Toronto Raptors to win the NBA championship?
I don't think so. I mean, I'm not a huge basketball guy, I'll be honest. You probably count on one hand how many basketball games I watched during the regular season. But I moved away from Toronto a couple of years ago. I lived there for 12 years before that, and I know that city. I mean, everybody knows that city. You guys in Buffalo know that city. They're, you know, what they've dealt with in terms of championships and droughts and the Maple Leafs. For them to get a championship or potentially an NBA championship, that city, I hate saying a city deserves it. I mean, every city deserves it. I think Buffalo has arguably the best hockey fans in the NHL. They're top five for sure in my mind. But for Toronto to win would be really special, and the whole country has gotten behind them. I'm watching the games now. I'm behind them, so... not only for Toronto, but for Canada, absolutely. And, you know, it's really great, too, because I think it's going to spawn even more great Canadians playing basketball and making it to the NBA than there already is, which is terrific. So it's going to be pretty cool. I mean, who's going to work on Tuesday in Toronto if they win Monday night? Might as well make it a holiday.
Mike Kelly, TSN, NHL Network. Thanks, bud. I really appreciate it, especially on short notice. Enjoy the beautiful weather, whether it's in Quebec or Toronto or Buffalo. We're going to enjoy it this weekend. Thank you.
Awesome. All right, my pleasure.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.